Went to see Cliff just a few days ago, and we were chatting to him, and he was completely different in this home where he went on Monday to what he was on Monday when we went on Thursday. And was sat, and he was taking part, and he was laughing, and I thought, wow, Cliff, what a change. And then I was with Vera, and I was with Yvonne, and we were sat on the bed, and we were talking, and then Sandra came. All right, and I let the three girls chat to him, and Cliff was looking over their shoulders and said, you know, and so I thought for a moment, I said, oh, I've got to finish this off positively. I've got pastor's wife's here. I've got to read something or say something. And it came to my mind, Zacchaeus was in my mind, of course, for today. And it came to my mind, I'll just ask Cliff what the name Zacchaeus means. Now, don't shout out if you know, but I have a feeling many of you will not know. It doesn't mean small or short. So if you're going to say that, you're not right. And then I thought, well, I've got to say about Zacchaeus and ask the question and follow it up with something that will encourage Cliff. So I said this, what does Zacchaeus' name mean? And straight away, with confidence, he said, perfect man. Dead right. Zacchaeus' name means innocent. It means the righteous one. It means pure. And then I followed up and said, well, Zacchaeus didn't really live up to his name. And it reminded me of Isaiah 43, and I said to Cliff to encourage him, the Lord knows your name, you're mine, from Isaiah 43. And that got me thinking a little bit about starting this talk. Zacchaeus' name, the righteous, his name didn't live up to it because Jesus was coming to the town, the city. Because Jesus was the righteous one. And because Jesus had no deceit in his mouth. He was perfect. In him was no sin. So you have a contrast straight away. And the problem with the story of Zacchaeus and Jesus is that sometimes we get the wrong way around. I think it's more about Jesus. So I just want to bring a few points out of our mirror about Jesus, which obviously is in the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus, Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus. It was the other way around. Jesus was seeking him. And that is a good reminder to start off this story. Jericho, the place of the crossroads between east and west, 18 miles from Jerusalem. Crowds were attending. I thought you were going to take my sermon, my talk this morning. Crowds were going there because they were going to the Passover, 18 miles away, all uphill, right? 4,000 feet elevation. Going the other way, you're going downhill. And there would have been crowds coming. And yet, in all these crowds, Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. He was out to get another individual. And that's the first challenge I want to bring to us today. The church is important, isn't it? The body of God's people, the called out ones, those that have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have trusted him as Savior. But never forget that it's made up at first of individuals. And the Lord was in the business of reaching individuals. Go through Luke's gospel. You see, it's full of Dr. Luke, who had an interest in people, a physician. He knew the pain people were going through at that time, just like James Simpson. And there you see, time after time, Dr. Luke tells about individuals coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Go through it. The man who was crazy, the sinful woman, the one leper and the 10 lepers, all finding hardship and difficulties, either physical pain or spiritual pain, or on the fringe of society. And Jesus seeks them. I think it's a lesson for the church. Can I be honest? That there are many people in our world who are hurting. Their pillows at night is damp and wet with tears. And Jesus went after those who were lost. didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He went after the ones that were hurt and they were in pain, just like Zacchaeus, or Zac, or Zacchaeus. He was hurting, was he not? He was a tax collector. In John the Baptist day, we saw that some people who were tax collectors came to him and he baptized them. And he said, don't go and go back to cheating people. And we see Levi, Matthew, was a tax collector. And Jesus now is seeking Zacchaeus, who is hurting. How was he hurting? Well, I bet he had some guilt about cheating people from the taxes. Jericho was a center for taxes, as Caesarea and Capernaum was. And there in that big city, city of paradise, it's called, so many palm trees and sycamore trees and people flocking with their wealth. But he was lonely. You know, people today can be lonely in a crowd, like Zacchaeus. And he was hurting. You know what? If I was telling this to the children, I would say when he started to get through the crowd, trying to see, because he was a small man, wasn't he? Short. And as he tried to push his way through, they wouldn't let him. Why? Because the people didn't like him. He was working for the Romans. He was unclean. And he had cheated them out of taxes. And I reckon by the time he got the tree to climb so he could see Jesus, he was black and blue with bruises. And just imagine, we'll take our opportunity here in the crowd, a little dig, a kick. People just didn't like him. Yes, a Jew, but a lonely Jew. Yes, a tax collector with wealth and riches, but he's lonely, he's in desperate need for friends. Who's the best person to have a friend? The friend of tax collectors and sinners. So Jesus is seeking him, and if you quickly look at it, you think Zacchaeus is actually seeking Jesus. That's the first point I would like to make. The second point is I think Jesus goes for individuals. He's seeking individuals who by faith will come to trust him and follow him. The second point is that he actually sees people. If you read the story, what do we read? We read that Jesus stopped where Zacchaeus had climbed. Now work that out. Do you think there was only one tree in Jericho? You'll be wrong. They think there's only one person that's climbed the tree? You'll be wrong. There were crowds there. If the children couldn't see, what do you think they would do? Climb the trees. And yet Jesus is not only seeking individuals, he sees their situation. Can I put it like this? We should be seeking out individuals who are in desperate need and on the fringe of society. I have a son called Jonathan, and I'm not boasting about him, but I'm proud of him. He works in Leeds with the down and outs, the alcoholics, the drug takers. When I went to see him a few years ago, he introduced me to some of these people. And he didn't just introduce me as something, oh, this is my dad, this is Peter, Paul, John. He said, oh, this is Peter who's got a problem with drink. And I got to know some of these people. And I thought, oh, Johnny, you're doing a fantastic job. You're helping them get accommodation and so on. You're helping to break the habits of a lifetime. And you're feeding them. You're looking after them. You're spending time with them. He was looking after them individuals, what I've just been talking about. But there was one day when, well, it was a Sunday. And the bishop had come, the Bishop of Leeds, to see the lighthouse where he works. And so he was shown the bishop round and said, this is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. And in particular, there was a man called John and some of his mates. Now, these were big men, were in the army. And they come up to the bishop and they said, we think Jonathan deserves a rise, right? And I heard all about this, you see. And sure enough, these were like bodyguards for Jonathan. And then the bishop came to Jonathan and said this. He said, "Hey, that was a good joke, your mate saying that." "Oh," I said, "it wasn't a joke. They'll smash your windows if you don't give them a rise." Right? But Jonathan saw people in desperate need. Didn't only seek them out, he got to the real issues. And the sad thing, you know what happened? That John was an alcoholic and battling with it. I got to know him. And Jonathan phoned about a year ago, a year and a half ago. He said, "Dad, I've got some bad news." I said, "What's that?" "John, back on the drink. He's into trouble with his in-laws. He's stolen a car and he's up in Durham somewhere." And sure enough, that's what happened. He crashed the car, went back to Leeds, and in a terrible state. You know what happened? He committed suicide. And Jonathan was one of the first with the police at the door to knock it down and helped him pull off the rope dead. See, it's one thing seeking, it's another one seeing it and being involved. But that is Jesus, isn't he? He saw it, he's seen it, he saw out of all the people in the crowds, he sees Lazarus and speaks to him. Can I tell you that our Lord sees the crowds with compassion, but he saw the individuals. And the challenge is, do we? Do we go out the way? Do we try to help? The ones on the fringe of society, the outcasts, the ones what society's forgot, ones that don't go near them, you'll be you'll get something. And Jesus not only sought people out, he saw them. And I'm reminded that God sees everything, does he not? Let me just remind you of a little story in the Old Testament. Remember when Sarah and Abraham in Genesis, before Abraham has any children, remember what happened with a slave girl called Hagar? Remember how Sarah said, "Go on, you go with Abraham." And she conceived. And she had a child. Or before she had the child, she's kicked out of the household. Remember what happened? She's fleeing for her life because Sarah hates her. And she's fleeing for her life, and the angel of the Lord appears to her and tells us that your descendants are going to be multitudes of people. They're going to be great. And your descendants also will come from your son who's going to be born called Ishmael. And here's the point. What did she call that place? El Roi. Or you can pronounce it, now look this up, El Roi. God sees. And I want to remind you two things. If you're a believer and you're struggling and no one really understands what you're going through and you're hurting, you have problems, difficulties, you're suffering, I want to remind you that God sees. His eyes go to and fro from this around this earth. He sees everything. Even if you're doing something for the Lord and no one says thank you to you, he says, "Well, if God sees in the secret, he will reward you." Isn't that a good encouragement? So if you're going through it, you're hurting. I want to tell you, God sees. And he loves those who are hurting and have difficulties. The third thing is, Jesus not only sought the individuals, seek them out, not only did he see these individuals, he also spoke to these individuals. "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house for tea." Our Lord, when he speaks, people were astonished. They were. He spoke as someone who had authority and someone who dared to say things, and they listened to him and they were amazed. Can you see Zacchaeus up that tree? And Jesus speaking to him. It said he joyfully got down and was ready for his friend to go and have tea in his house. That didn't happen very often. In fact, the opposite, no one would have anything to do with him. But the friend, Jesus of sinners, speaks to him. And I think that's a good challenge as well, isn't he? The Lord comes and says, if he gives a type of command, you ever thought about that? I must come to your house for tea. I must. If we had time, I would go through several passages where in the Gospels it talks about Jesus saying, I must. I must go to Jerusalem to be rejected, to suffer, to be killed, and rise on the third day. In John's Gospel, I must, or you must, be born again. Very interesting what he says. And here he's saying to Zacchaeus, you must come down, a command, as it were. And Zacchaeus is only ready to respond. What a Savior we have. What a wonderful Lord Jesus who seeks out the individuals, who sees them as they are and still loves them with compassion and a love that is better than anything on this earth. And he also speaks with authority. And then they go for tea. I wonder what they talked about. You ever thought about that? We're not told, really. We can have a guess. Because it's called, isn't he? Zacchaeus, you're now a son of Abraham. Salvation has come to your house. Son of Abraham? What does that mean? Well, Abraham was a man of faith. And it's as if Zacchaeus had now joined that people of faith. He was a Jew by birth, but now he actually became a true Jew in the sense of he lived now by faith and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was changed. We're told actually in that passage that he received the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gave the right to become the children of God and believed in him. Let me ask you, I've sort of challenged believers today, I hope you'll forgive me. We need to look out for the ones that are struggling in life, ones on the fringe. But hey, the challenge is Jesus is in the business of changed lives. Have you been changed? James Simpson was changed. His life dramatically changed. Do you know Christ as Savior? Come, receive him. Believe that he is the Messiah, the one who went to Jerusalem eventually to die on a cross to save you from your sins. Have you received him? Because you live in a Christian country, doesn't mean you're a Christian. I've once said that to the people from Balmoral in giving a little testimony. And you should have heard the laughter when she said, well, you go to McDonald's, you're not a hamburger. And they laughed their heads off. I hope they got the point. If you live in this country, it doesn't mean you're Christian. If you have parents that are Christians, doesn't mean you're a Christian. You personally, as an individual, need to come and trust the Savior and follow him and serve him. I tell you, when your life has changed, it changes. You have different priorities, different values. You want to do things that please your master. It's interesting, Zacchaeus called Jesus Lord. Lord. And someone who trusts Jesus as Savior and Lord finds that the Holy Spirit that dwells in his life changes him. Or have you experienced that? If not, why not? Why not today? Zacchaeus started that morning as a tax collector that was cheating and crooked, a sinner. He ended it still a tax collector, but completely changed. Will you? And follow the Lord Jesus. We said we would finish at 6. I've got another minute out of it and a few more seconds as we sing our last song together. We're going to have another cup of tea after this.